as his gaze swept my skin. My nerves that day were prickles. I was eager to impress, to make him think me something I was not. As his eyes traced my length and Mrs. Mack's entreaty circled in my head. "Your mother was a proper lady. Your people were grand folk. And don't you go forgetting it. Play your cards right, and all our birds might just come home to roost." And so I sat up straighter on the rosewood chair that first day in the whitewashed room behind the tangle of blushing sweet peas. His littlest sister brought me tea and cake when I was hungry. His mother, too, came down the narrow path to watch him work. She adored her son. In him, she glimpsed the family's hopes fulfilled. Distinguished member of the Royal Academy, engaged to a lady of some means, father soon to a clutch of brown-eyed heirs. Not for him, the likes of me. His mother blamed herself for what came next, but she'd have more easily halted day from meeting night than keep us apart. He called me his muse, his destiny. He said that he had known at once when he saw me through the hazy gaslight of the theatre foyer on Drury Lane. I was his muse, his destiny, and he was mine. It was long ago. It was yesterday. Oh, I remember, love. This corner, halfway up the main flight of stairs, is my favourite. It is a strange house built to be purposely confusing. Staircases that turn at unusual angles, all knees and elbows and uneven treads, windows that do not line up no matter how one squints at them, floorboards and wall panels with clever concealments. In this corner, there's a warmth, almost unnatural. We all noticed it when we first came, and over the early summer weeks, we took our turns in guessing at its cause. The reason took me some time to discover, but at last I learned the truth. I know this place, as I know my own name. It was not the house itself, but the light that Edward used to tempt the others. On a clear day from the attic windows, one can see the River Thames and all the way to the Welsh mountains. Ribbons of mauve and green, crags of chalk that stagger towards the clouds, and warm air that lends the whole an iridescence. This was the proposal that he made. An entire summer month of paint and poetry and picnics, of stories and science and invention, of light heaven-sent, away from London, away from prying eyes. Little wonder that the others accepted with alacrity. Edward could make the very devil pray, if such were his desire. Only to me did he confess his other reason for coming here, for although the law of the light was real enough, Edward had a secret. We came on foot from the railway station. July and the day was perfect. A breeze picked at my skirt hem. Someone had brought sandwiches and we ate them as we walked. What a sight we must have been. Men with loosened neckties, women with their long hair free. Laughter teasing sport. Such a grand beginning. I remember the sound of a stream close by and a wood pigeon calling overhead. A man leading a horse, a wagon with a young boy sitting atop straw bales, the smell of fresh cut grass. Oh, how I miss that smell. A clutch of fat country geese regarded us beadily when we reached the river, before honking bravely once we had passed. All was light, but it did not last for long. You knew that already, though, for there would be no story to tell if the warmth had lasted. No one is interested in quiet, happy summers that end as they begin. Edward taught me that. The isolation played its part. This house stranded on the riverbank like a great inland ship. The weather, too, the blazing hot days one after the other, and then the summer storm that night, which forced us all indoors. The winds blew and the trees moaned and thunder rolled down the river to take the house within its clutches. Whilst inside, talk turned to spirits and enchantments. There was a fire crackling in the grate and the candle flames quivered, and in the darkness, in that atmosphere,